mess. These churches are a mess, these churches, aren't they, Ben? Jesus. Just did a gnarly fifth step with that guy today. We won't go into it, it was boring. Hi, family, I'm Samantha. I'm a drug addict. I want to thank Melissa for asking me to share. I want to welcome the newcomers, and I want to thank Sarah B. and Steve Coronado for having their fucking poker tournament tonight. I thought no one would come, but obviously some people came. Good job, Sarah. I spoke here about maybe 4.5 years ago when I first came out, and I don't recall being nervous at all. I mean, I do this, you know, a little bit, and I always get a little bit nervous. Not like tonight. Man. So Julie said, why? And I said, because it's family. And she said, that makes absolutely no sense. And she's right. But ego's a precious thing, isn't it? Ego. Isn't that cute? Tells me I have some power or some shit. Strangely enough, controversial as it may sound, it's a double fister. I do have some power. How long do I talk? God, those fucking chips took forever. They totally cut into my time. Just kidding. Happy birthday, my little sister Charlotte. Happy birthday to everybody. I can't remember everybody. I tried to pay attention. I was sort of self-obsessed, and Matt was giving chips, and I was like, wow, that must be necessary. And I love that boy. We have a completely different life than non-alcoholics and drug addicts, don't we? I want to welcome the non-alcoholics in the room. I never call anybody a normie anymore because I'm convinced they're just all neurotic in a different way. Any non-alcoholics here? It's my Al-Anons. Whoop, whoop. Where's your folks? Oh, there they are. No, those aren't them. Hi. Welcome, though. Where's your parents? Where's Dana? What's up? Way in the back. Good, keep your distance. Right? Sponsee's parents are coming. I was going to say, God, I hope I don't offend you, but I just, fuck it. You know, So we have this really totally different life, you know, like, and if you don't believe me, I mean, just go on a 12-step call, right? Because you go on a 12-step call, and the guy's flat on his back, paramedics are working over him, I'm sure there's some blood spill, if he knew what he was doing, you know what I mean? There's some blood spill. Probably a broken window, maybe a baby crying in the corner, you know, and the neighbors are just appalled. And we go there and we're like, looks like he's ready. You know what I mean? I'm going to say a really quick prayer. God, help me help somebody besides myself, if you want, if you think it'd be a good idea. I frankly think it would be a good idea, but God, I'm waiting for the memo. Just waiting for the memo. So, a couple things. So my sobriety date this time is September 5th, 1995. I have a sponsor. Oh, my sponsor's here. Shit. Wait. I know. Now I feel like I can't be a smarty-assy. And Kathleen is my sponsor. She probably would rather not I announce her name. Kathleen Feeney. Yeah! Whoop, whoop. She's responsible for everything I do and how I act. Just kidding. She only got me like a year and a half ago. The damage was already done. I got a sponsor. I love her. I got a home group. It's a Wednesday night women's meeting at 4848. But I ain't there lately because I'm doing this Conan workshop. Which is... it's like golf. You really shouldn't play golf unless you have about 10 years sober, you know? So the Conan, where there's a bunch of people in there less time sober. I'm shaking. Isn't that cute? God almighty. I paid so much money to feel this way. I used to. So when I was new, I used to go to speaker meetings, and I used to sit there and I used to hope for a couple things. I hoped that I would be distracted. I hoped that I would laugh. I hoped that I'd be entertained. And I hoped, to be honest, that that I would hear the phrase, like just a phrase that would, I don't know, I mean, move me, for lack of a better word, move me, bless you. Oh, geez, there's kids here. I'm sorry, this is not PG at all. All right, as long as they're not doing it. My dad said, make sure you say shit when you step in it and fuck when you're doing it. Don't call it poo-poo when it's shit, and don't call it making love when it's fucking. That was my dad. Anyway, my hero. I'm never even going to get to any. I don't even know where we're going. I have no idea where we're going. Sorry. Janice, is this your kid up here? Why do they bring the kids here? God. Oh yeah, childcare. No longer. Okay. Whenever God kicks in, we'll just move on. But so, where was I? Help me, help me. Oh yeah, different life. No, we already covered that. I'm an alcoholic that slams methamphetamine, which makes me a very busy alcoholic that gets nothing done. Go ahead, bro. Spear meetings, yeah, thanks. Can you imagine me on methamphetamine? We'd be wearing way less, so that's very sharp. I have less teeth, less hair. It's not a vision for you. Anyway, where was I again? Yeah. So I wanted to get that phrase, that one little phrase. I hated it when they talked about God. Hated it when they talked about God, and happy, joyous, and free, and all that shit. Guess what I'm going to talk about tonight? I have had a profound alteration in the way I react to life in the last 90 days. This, you know, you can have long-term sobriety if you don't drink, you don't die, and you can survive this fucking fellowship. I'm going to tell you that right now, because we can be nasty. Sorry, guys. So it's only going to get worse. So, but what I think is going on with me right now is that there's only one problem, it's fear, and there's only one answer, it's God. Let's pray. You know what I mean? I mean, that's it. That's the end. I would love to think that there's some more creative answer for you, but I don't have one. So here's my story. I started getting loaded when I was 9. I'm sure I could have used a drink a lot sooner. It just wasn't available, especially like having a Partridge Family lunch pail or something. It was hard to score at the liquor store. And I was adopted, and I was molested, and none of those things make me a drug addict. You know what makes me a drug addict? Drugs. You have to do them. And as I did drugs, I didn't know that I had this bodily and mentally different thing going on. I didn't know that I had some sort of a sensitivity, an allergy, they called it. The allergy produces this phenomenon of craving. It's a phenomenon of craving. Don't try to wrap your head around it. It's a fucking phenomenon. That's why they call it a phenomenon. The doctors at Harvard can't figure it out. You go ahead and just breathe it in. It's a phenomenon. It sets off this craving that says, I've had 2 drinks, where's the bartender? You know what I mean? It's that thing of, I need, I long, I want. There isn't enough, there's never enough. Now, I was feeling that way before I took a drink, okay? And I had tons of evidence, right, of why I'm not wanted, of why I'm not lovable, of why I'm not okay. And I had all these reasons. I came to this 12-step program, CA, by the way, the most inclusive 12-step program on the planet. You know what I mean? Welcome, you know, really. It's kind of amazing, you know. It's the program where I can actually say, you know, cocaine is just meth for pussies. You know what I mean? And nobody really throws me out, you know what I mean? There's the speed freaks. Well, the cocaine is so impractical. You know what I'm saying? You slam the cocaine, and it's like a wah, 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 you know, and everything's going down, everything else. But there's like, I'm a pincushion, you know, all night long. Methamphetamine, when you first started, it's practical, you see? It's cheap, you get some shit done, you know what I mean? Cocaine, you don't get anything done, you know what I mean? Now, eventually, the whole methamphetamine thing turns into the whole schizophrenic thing, which is kind of a bummer, you know, but in the beginning, it's good. It's good. Methamphetamine and tequila gave me the combination that allowed me a substitute, if you will, a sufficient substitute for life, this cruel joke, you know, that everyone seemed to have the manual to, except me. And, and I started getting high in fourth grade, and everything pretty much went downhill from there. When I was 17 years old, I got thrown in my first drug rehab, and that's where I learned about this program, Hospitals and Institutions, whoop, whoop. And I learned that maybe I was sick and not bad. And that gave me some hope, because I was definitely what I would call an evil child. You know, I used to obsess about dropping acid in my mom's coffee and just watching her flip out. I fucking hated her. I hated both of those people called my parents. Hated them. And I did, you know, and I definitely planned many, many obsessive, crazy things. And I've talked to other 12-year-old girls, and they just don't think that way. So I don't know. Again, one more thing that sets me apart. But I got the message of my life was pretty much forever changed. And I stayed sober for quite some time, and then I quit going to meetings. Hi, Ash. Hey, where's Gabby? She couldn't make it. Gabby, I'm really bummed you're not here. Let's go to the CD. Okay. I keep wanting to read something to you, but I'm not going to yet. So, where was I? Jesus, God, I quit going to meetings. Thank you. Susan, I know so many of you guys in here. God, I can't even look at you, most of you. Okay, so here's five things I hear the most. Any relapsers in here? Relapsers? Raise them high. Relapsers. The rest of you guys are just original winners, huh? Pussies, as I like to call you, but sorry. I'm just kidding, Wendy. All right, so five things I hear the most. I quit going to meetings. I didn't do a fourth. I didn't do a fifth. Didn't do a ninth. Didn't do 12. Anybody sitting in here with 6 months, a year sober, worked the steps, no sponsees? Don't raise your hand. Really? You fucking liar. Yo. Anyways, if you are, shame on you. Yeah, it's fucked up. It's also kind of sad because that's the dope. That is the dope. You know, the first year of, you know, sponsors, the first year, all we're doing is babysitting. We're just waiting for God to kick in. It's like the dog whisperer. We're like the newcomer whisperer. You know what I mean? It's just the, oh my God, I can't accept my, you know, no one looks at my phone calls and da-da-da, and you're like, shh, you know what I mean? Wash the cups, you know? Okay, I wash the cups, you know? And then, oh my God, my parents won't even come see me and I can't get my kids back. You're like, shh. Meet me at the meeting, you know what I mean? Meet me at the meeting, it's 4 blocks, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it's 4 blocks, you know, I don't have a car, you know, fucking walk. How far did you walk 4 blocks for dope? Actually, I came across the country. Then I'm like, meet me at the meeting, you know what I mean? And then you get them into the meeting, you know, and they're sitting there and, you know, they're like listening and the speaker, you know, makes them laugh. Yeah. Yay, you know, and you're like, fuck yes, you know, God kicked in. And that's it. I mean, we're just waiting for God to kick in. And meanwhile, we'll tell you to come help us do our laundry, pick up the chairs, you know. I can think of a million different things to just keep you distracted. Just keep you distracted till God kicks in. And when God kicks in, shit changes. Al Higgins. Man, I'm telling you. So I quit going to meetings. I got about 6.5 years sober. I'm at a bar with my husband and my girlfriend, both non-alcoholics. Neither would ever seen me drink before. And of course, you can tell a non-alcoholic, you're a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. And they say stuff like, that is terrific. That is so neat. That's really neat. That is good. You must be so proud, you know, and they don't really get it. And they got it that night. But, so I hadn't been to a meeting in about 6 months. I got 6.5 years sober. And I just, you know, pick up a half a glass of white Zinfandel just sitting there and just drink it down, you know. And it's kind of quiet like it is right now. And my girlfriend turns to me and she goes, well, good for you. That is great. You show them. That's neat, right? And this is why I speak. And I tell this story every single time I speak because this is for me. Because I don't ever want to forget that from the bottom of my tummy, a voice clear as day just came through and said, here we go. And the next thing I remember, I was banging on the bar like, I want something to help me drink longer, you know. And he's like, ixnay on the ethamphetamine, may. And I was making a scene, you know, I was making a scene. I'm one of them making a scene. And the next 2 years, I was arrested 11 times and put in 5-point restraints and had my bottom teeth knocked out because, and ended up in Atlanta, Georgia, because I'm an alcoholic that slams methamphetamine. So I'm very busy, I get nothing done, and I'm very scandalous in the process, which means I need to move around, you know what I'm saying? And in August of 1995, after stabbing the man I loved, because he was, I know, leaving with a full jar of peanut butter, which, again, baffles me. Because I hadn't eaten since 1994, seriously, so. Just had to go. But, you know, we had that beautiful relationship of methamphetamine and alcohol and stuff like that where, you know, you have a lot, you know, you, there's a lot of stuff like sex and stuff like that, and then you beat each other up, you know what I mean? So, so he wasn't really a hitter. He was a strangler. So he had strangling down, you know. And and everything I walk through, I judge, you know. Everything I walk through, I judge, because when I was sober for 6.5 years, I was working with this woman who was in a really abusive relationship, and, you know, she wouldn't leave, and you just leave, and why don't you leave, just leave, why don't you leave, you know what I mean? You're giving my gender a bad name, you know, some really nice thing like that. And then as he was strangling me one night, and I passed out, and I wet my pants, and I came back to, and the dogs are barking, and he's, you know, looking mildly amused. I thought, I wish I hadn't said that to her, because I can't leave, you know? So things just kind of went, you know, downhill from there. And in August of 1995, like I said, you know, the blood is gushing out of his head, you know, because the head wounds, they're so bad. But really, I mean, he was fine, because he's like, you fucking cunt, and, you know, all the stuff that they say. So obviously, he was fine, right? And I don't use that C word very lightly, so I'm just saying. And I thought, what happened? I had 6.5 years sober. I was married. I had a beautiful 4-bedroom home with a pool and a jacuzzi, and I was kicking ass in an awesome career as a radio broadcaster. And I, you know, gush, 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 hear the sirens, woo, woo, coming. You know, it's like, exit stage left. You know what I mean? Like, we got to go. And long story short, I basically hitched a ride from Atlanta, Georgia, back to California, and went into this woman's recovery home. And, you know, I started to work the steps like the drowning sees a life preserver in icy shark-infested waters, you know? This, do we have the steps up? Oh, yeah, where are they? I can't. They're over here. To your left. This is a recipe that tastes like shit, basically. You know what I mean? Who cares to admit complete defeat? You know what I mean? Who wants to admit complete defeat, turn their will and their life over to the care of some god that never did them any favors, write a list of your grosser handicaps, share them with some stranger who's going to gossip about you at the next meeting, surrender your survival skills, right, and then stand in front of the judge and say, I did it, give them back their money, you know, promptly admit when wrong, not sorry. We don't care that you're sorry. Nobody cares that you're sorry. If you're doing an amends and it's I'm sorry, you're not doing it right. Just saying. That's not my opinion. Nowhere in the 9th and 10th step does it say apologize, I'm sorry. It says I was wrong. If you don't think there's a difference between I'm sorry and I was wrong, try I was wrong. They've heard I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry. I'm sorry, right? I'm from California, so it's like, I'm fucking sorry. Totally. God. Ugh. Anyway, they don't want to hear I'm sorry. They don't give a shit that you're sorry. I was wrong. Now, here's the cool thing. I think you can say I was wrong and not even be sorry. I do it all the time. Ask Matt. Just kidding. Anyway, I was wrong. I talked to you like that. You dumb son of a bitch. You know what I mean? But you don't have to say the dumb son of a bitch, because then you're back to the amends thing and it's just a nightmare. But I was wrong. Because there's lots of times I'm not sorry for what I said, but I needed to say it differently. You know? I just had an experience, though, a couple weeks ago where I was wrong. And I was freaking sorry. And I just did my 5th step with Tabitha with this Kohanon stuff. And I didn't think I'd ever feel the way I felt. And I didn't cry about Matt, I didn't cry about my mom, but I cried about this person. I cried that I had hurt. Wow. because I want to change. I want to change. I have been given an enormous amount of spiritual power, and I don't mean that as like an arrogant spiritual guru thing. No. Come on now. I mean, I've been given the gift of gab. I've been given the gift to be a good teacher. And people look up to me. And I abused it. When I did a four-step, the stuff that really raked me over the coals wasn't like the people I'd slept with and da-da-da-da. The stuff that really turned my stomach was stuff like this. I scared my mom and dad, and I liked it. That's who I was. This pitch is about what I was like, not what it was like, what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And I am messy, and I am emotional, and I am passionate, and I'm inappropriate, and I'm profane, and I am beautiful, and I am smart, and I am silly, and I'm ignorant, and I am many, many things that I didn't know that I was. And if you're new, man, I beg of you to try to survive yourself long enough to have this experience that will blow your fucking mind. It'll blow your mind. It won't take overnight. This is a mind training. This is a fucking mind training class. That's what this is. This ain't self-help. We don't do self-help. Self's what got you into this fucking mess. We do a mind training. And in order to do a mind training, man, I gotta do action that's different. Because I can't feel my way out of my bad feelings, and I can't think my way into loving you more. I do have to act. This is a monkey see, monkey do program. This is a wax on, wax off, Mr. Miyagi motherfucker. If you're like me and Sean, you're fucked. Because you're too smart. You're smart. Got a couple of you clowns. I just can't wrap my head around it. I know. It's fucking beyond your pay grade. You get it? It's not for you to understand. It's for you to breathe in. Do you know how many things that happen beyond our understanding that you could explain if you had a different language than just the English language? The English language that gives me the same word to describe how I feel about donuts is how I feel about my dad. I love donuts. I love my dad. Seems a little insufficient. So I get clean and sober, man, and I start working these steps, and the steps really are, you know, here's step one, man, you're fucked. Next, let's move on, shall we? If you're working step one, you're on step one, I got a step one packet. Don't come to me. I mean, I'm just kidding. You can come to me, I'll listen to the packet, and then I'll be like, what are we doing? Step one is you're fucked. Next, that's it. I already assume you've worked step one before you asked me to be your sponsor. I'm not going to work a step one with you. Alcohol and drugs work a step one on you. That's it. Nothing I can do for you if you haven't reached step one. The only thing that will convince you that you're an alcoholic and a drug addict is alcohol and drugs. That's it. You have to do them. Which is why sometimes we bury people. That's beyond my control. I am powerless over drugs and alcohol. Step two. That's where some of the solution is. Not for you to understand, just for you to find someone who's doing better than you are, and then step three is just do what they say. You know what I mean? That is the basic thing. My sponsor had all her teeth. She was working at better than I was. That was my higher power in the beginning. And then I did what she did. And that's it. That's step one, two, and three. Step three, though, that's where I live. Step three is where I live. Step three is where I live. Step three is this. Whatever you want, God. 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 Step three is the first of the steps that says we got to practice. This is a practice. God's like the GPS, man. It's, you know, the best analogy that I have. My GPS is never wrong. And she's very polite. And so I put in where I want to go, and she says, please turn left. And I'm turning left. And then she says, you know, forward ahead 40 miles. And then turn right. And all of a sudden, the thought occurs to me, right? It's like in italics. Maybe if I put a little whiskey in the milk on a full stomach, maybe I'd be okay, right? It's like, I'm going to get in the ring with Muhammad Ali in his heyday. I have the ever-living shit kicked out of me. Then, after they wheel me off, eyeball falling out, everything else, like the whole Monty Python, right? I'm not dead yet. I'll fight you with one arm behind my back, blah, blah, blah. Then I recover. I'm like 30, 60, 90 days into it. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking I'm going to do one more round with Muhammad Ali. And people are like, hi, Eric. People are like, are you serious? Don't you remember what happened? And I don't say to them, well, actually, for reasons yet obscure, I've lost the ability of choice and drink. I cannot recall with sufficient force the memory of the suffering. No, I say that. I'm just like, have you seen my new boxing shorts? You know what I mean? They're silk. Makes no sense, except to us. And all the people are like, I'm out of here, I'm not watching you, except for a couple untreated Al-Anons that are like, I'll be there for you, you know what I mean? You're like, yeah. So, you know, so the GPS system, right? So I'm like, she doesn't know, this is wrong. So I end up, of course, strangely enough, in the ditch, car is totaled, right? I'm weeping bitterly, and she's saying the whole time, please return to the highlighted route. Please return to the highlighted route. You know, that bitch, fuck, please return to the highlighted. Let me explain. Wait, I was adopted and I was molested, and she's like, I don't give a shit. Where do you want to go? You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it is here. Like, we don't really give a shit where you've been. We don't really care what, you know, to the deepest extent of like what your story is. Because your story, at least for me, my story is the thing that I'm in bondage to. My core beliefs of who I am, my core beliefs are messing with my life at 17 years sober. I know I'm wanted. How come I still act like I'm not wanted? What is that about? I'll tell you what it's about. My core beliefs have to get absolutely questioned. And here's how I question them. When I do a four-step, I do it on people, institutions, and principles. Principles are core beliefs. I question, where did I get this belief? What does it affect? Everything. Just remember, if it affects your self-esteem, it affects everything. Why? Because if I got a broken self-esteem, I got broken ambitions and dreams. If I got broken ambitions and dreams, I can't provide security for myself, either financial or personal. So I got broken security. If I got broken security, what kind of people do you think I'm going to try to make friends with? Broken. If you think those are broken, who am I getting into bed with? So if a self-esteem's affected, just write all five fucking things down and we'll work it out. You know what I mean? That's a four step. So it's please return to the highlighted route. Where do you want to go? Peace. Turn left. And that is it. Returning to the highlighted route. That is God for me. That's step three for me. And you can do it anytime. Anytime. Your fear, your insecurity, the restless, irritable, discontented stuff, that doesn't have to be stuff anymore that threatens you or makes you feel like you're not working a program. Here's what it can become for you. It can become your natural, built-in alarm clock that you're off the highlighted route. And it only takes a second to feel like I'm off the highlighted route. Check this out, man. Everything I do, and I mean everything I do, is walking towards a drink or away from one. Everything I do. Now, I've built up a little bit of insurance, so I could probably pull some scandalous shit, I don't know how scandalous, but I could probably get off the highlighted route for a while and not get loaded. But as we know with time, it's not about getting loaded anymore. It's about surviving my head. I don't want to survive anymore. I've been surviving caveman shit for a long time. I want to thrive. I remember the prayer that I said right before I got clean and sober, and here's what it was. Sorry, but this is what it was. Look, motherfucker, if you're not going to let me kill myself, then you help me stop wanting to. Now. Because I'm not going to do another 40 years like this on this planet, where I can't get loaded and I can't get sober. It's the same thing as, please God help me. It's the same thing, just a little different. You know what I mean? It's like I'm going to intimidate God. And God says, you're so cute. You're so cute. Wipe the drool. Stop throwing the oatmeal. Can't stop throwing the oatmeal? No more oatmeal for you. Here's crackers. You know what I mean? That's how God works with me. 17. So anyway, how much longer do I got? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Something like that? I don't even know where. I got clean and sober. I started working life. I love life. Blah, blah, blah. Then I started to hate life. And you got to try to keep it together because, you know, how do you? And then I started thinking, you know what? I'm the main speaker and I'm not happy, joyous, and free. Now, how do I get up there and tell them that I'm not happy, joyous, and free? I'll fucking tell you how. I am the main speaker who is not happy, not tonight. This is in the past. I'm pretty happy, joyous, and free right now. But, which is a miracle. What's up, CJ? Go Ireland. So here's the deal. I wasn't happy, joyous, and free, so I was the speaker with 13, 14, 15, 16 years of sobriety that wasn't happy, joyous, and free that hadn't gotten loaded. That's it. Watch my dad die, help him die, dignified, love that guy, love my mom, kiss her full lips, mwah. Can't even get my lips off her before my old man was like, give me a kiss, I want a kiss. And then I run over to my dad, and I give him a kiss, and like get into his neck, and give him the whole, oh, I love you, you know, and he's like laughing, and my mom's laughing, and they're spooning after 60 years, and the dog's barking, the cat's yelping, and I close the door going, holy fuck, this is my life, you know. I go back to school at 5, 6, 7 years sober, go to law school, graduate law school, can't pass the fucking bar. That's because they only want competent. They don't really want extremely brilliant. They just want, you know, that's what I say. I don't know, three times, $1,500 later, I'm like, I'm out. And start teaching and loving teaching and get married and get divorced and fall off pedestals and, you know, have people say what a fucking, you know, horrible woman I am. And I start to believe it and want to kill myself at 7 years and survive myself. And God and I had a little talk. And the message I got was, there's meaning and purpose in the wound. There's deep meaning and purpose in the muck. There's deep meaning and purpose in your flaws and in your mistakes. And if you're sitting here tonight with a lot of guilt or a little guilt, a lot of shame, little shame, a lot of regret, a lot of remorse, I'm just telling you, my experience is that someone is in the oven being cooked for you that needs you. I'm not trying to sound all magical, mystery, touchy-feely. I'm not her. I'm not that woman. I'm not that speaker. I'm telling you, this is fucking science. This program is not magical and mysterious. This is a fucking recipe for chocolate cake. You gotta put chocolate in there. If I write out the recipe for chocolate cake and you call me 2 days later and you're like, my cake tastes like shit, I'm gonna go, what? Really? Did you do the recipe? Of course, you know, the newcomer. Yes, I did the recipe. You know what I mean? Did you do it just like I said? Yes, I did it just like you said. Okay, let's go through it. A cup of this, teaspoon cup, cup of cocoa, and then, of course, in the immortal words of the newcomer, oh, I was thinking, you know, no thinking. There's no thinking in baking, you know what I mean? You don't think. It's wax on, wax off, you know what I mean? And she's like, well, I was thinking that I'd put carob in there. And I'm like, well, that's a fucking carob cake. And then she goes, but why? And I start to have that Al-Anon slip where like, oh my God, I have to explain to her all the different scientific properties in carob and cocoa. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? It's a chocolate cake. You got to put cocoa in there. And then she's like, you're mean. You know, and then I'm like, oh, great. You know, and she gets a new sponsor, you know, or something like that. I don't know. It's a recipe. It works for everybody, even for you. Even for the one that's like, yeah, but no, you too. Yeah, but I was, no, you too. You too. It works for everybody. It fucking works. If you don't want to get sober, don't do the steps. And stay away, far away from people who've done the steps and that are happy, because you will get clean and sober. And you will have some sort of a spiritual psychic change that gives you a spiritual substitute sufficient for the feeling that you get with drugs and alcohol. I swear. It is a God thing. Well, what's the God part in the book? All of it. What's the spiritual portion? All of it. The whole fucking thing. It's a God thing. The whole thing's a God thing. There's only one problem. There's only one character defect. It's fear. You can dress it up however you want to dress it up. Envy, sloth, pride. I don't give a shit. Does it not all lead you back to I long, I want, I'm not okay, I'm not enough, I need her, I need him, it's not, I need more? Give me one character defect that does not lead you to fear. I've tried. Self-centered fear, the chief activator, that's it. You got fear, I got a solution. You ain't gonna like it, because you're not gonna think it's gonna work. It's such a trip, you know. I pray, and then I work actively against the prayer. I keep praying for problems to be removed that I keep behaving my way into. Want me to say that again? I keep praying this problem will disappear, and then I keep behaving my way back into it. I'm like, what the fuck? You didn't help. He's like, God, you know, help me out, man. Meet me halfway. Stop fucking him. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You know what I mean? Or stop eating that. Or help me out. You know what I mean? Like, God's just begging me to loosen the grip. I don't let go of shit. Let go and let God's a joke. Sorry. I loosen the grip. I just loosen the grip. How does loosening the grip look like? It's just like, oh, fuck it. You know what I mean? It's just like the really short version of the third step prayer. Fuck it. You know what I mean? I got to wrap this up. This stuff, job or no job, man, wife or no wife, sex or no sex, money or no money. We simply do not drinking so long as, that's like, unless, until, this whole program's so conditional. It's for fun and for free. Bullshit. It is a price-paying thing. Everything. You don't get this until you get this. Not until you do this can you have this. Only if you do this can you have this. That's our program. Right? We do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people, places, and things ahead of dependence upon God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone, anything. The only condition, oh great, the only condition, is that I trust in this God and clean house. It's a two-parter, man. Let no alcoholic say he can't recover unless he has his family back. It just isn't so, man. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. Remind him, remind him, remind him. Both you and the new guy, girl, have got to walk what? How often? Every day, day by day, every day. It's a vigilance. How often did you want to get high? Never mind, right? If you persist, if, fuck another condition, remarkable things will happen, not may happen, not might happen, will happen. When I look back, I realize that the things which came to me when I put myself in God's hands. were better than anything I could have planned. I follow the dictates of a higher power. And I do presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what my present circumstances are. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a job. I lost my daddy. My dog died. It sounds like a fucking country music song, doesn't it? I'm going to say this and wrap it up. So about 90 days ago, I'm done. Done. I'm out. I'm out. I want out. Badly. Badly, badly, badly I want out. It's my life. I get to decide when I want to die. I want to go. I've been a good daughter. I've been the best girlfriend I can be. I've been the best sister I can be. I've been the best sponsor I can be. I've been the best sponsee I can be. Fuck you, I'm out. I want out. And I go home to Santa Barbara where I got sober, and I fall into the arms of my elders, of the ones who know me without teeth, you know what I'm saying? And they say, do you remember? Do you remember at 19 days when you crawled up to get that newcomer chip and we said, welcome home? Welcome home, baby. Do you remember when you came up to us growling, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that? And Gabe said to you, you're not that scary. Go sit down. And I didn't know whether to, you know, hit him or hug him. You know, I was just like, well, you mean I'm not too much for you? No. We got big hands. We know you're a handful. We got big hands, baby. God. I need you to hold me. I need, and I don't mean like hold me, like come up and fucking tell me, don't do that tonight. Just tell me that you get it, man. Tell me I don't have to leave. Tell me I'm not too inappropriate for this program. I might be too inappropriate for you. But you tell me, and you tell the newcomer and the old timer. God, am I an old timer? Fuck, what? 17. So anyways, I fall in the end. They give me this. You got, I know I got to end soon. So you keep coming up. You got to come up. Okay, I got to wrap it up. So this really good friend of mine gives me Clint Hodges and this old timer. And I listened to these CDs, and it saved my life, changed my life. And he said this. He said, it's true. I am a drunk. And my soul lives in the shadow of my emotions. And yet my life has had its meaning. And there have been songs sung for me. And the hand that made the spirits and me and you and all that I've ever seen seems to have abandoned me. My life with all its ruined hours has been nothing but a search for him who created me. There is a deep, deep need in me, and I believe, just my opinion, that there is a deep, deep need in you to be connected to the universe and to be connected to each other. And what alcohol and drugs did for me, see, to be connected, there's a part of me that has to die. To be connected to you, and I believe my God lives in the space between you and me, and to be connected to you, there's a part of me that has to die. There's a part of me that has to die. It's the part of me that wants to run the show. And what alcohol and drugs for me, drugs did for me, is it made me feel like I didn't have to die in order to run the show. But now I know. I know. And I am totally willing to have all of my character defects moved, shifted, changed, removed, whatever. But I am not going to ask my creator to remove specific things, because that's not what the prayer asks me to do. The prayer asks me to take all of me. Take all of me, good and bad. Remove anything that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And here's your bidding. Here's my bidding: to be Samantha. Messy, profane, inappropriate, angry, rude, pleasant, charming, precious, funny, silly, sad. If you can't handle all of me, we can't connect. Doesn't mean you have to put up with it. Doesn't mean you have to co-sign it. It means you get to tell me I can't hang with that. Hey, work with me. Talk to me. Man, talk to each other. I am profoundly shifted, and I am profoundly grateful that I've had a series of rededications and recommitments. And if it weren't for people like you and rooms like this and that beautiful recipe. I would have missed it all. Thank you for my life.